The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. The Gospel of the Lord. Yes, it is a very interesting gospel passage. Kind of, it's hard to get our orientation on it, because here it is: Jesus, mighty deeds and word going out throughout the entire region, people coming to him in such manner that he's afraid that they will crush him. There are so many people, and then warning the spirits. And perhaps even the people from whom he has cast out the spirits to not make him known. So yeah, okay. Well, what is going on here? What is this about? And of course, it's about Jesus coming to power, and yet having to redraw what it looks like to exercise authority and power. Yeah, so it's not so simple as to say that Jesus can stand there and say, okay, well, this is who I am. And let me outline that for you. Let me give you some propositional truths that you can assent to about who I am and what I'm doing. Because of course, when you give people details or the propositional truths or whatever it may be, they're inclined to just take those and adapt those for their own purposes. Jesus has to. It's not enough in the sense that Jesus is the Messiah. He has to enact what it means to be the Messiah, and realign people's thoughts and the like around him and what he's doing as the Messiah, as one who has authority. It's powerful, right? He can't get away from the fact that he's healed a large number of people, and word goes out quickly about the fact that he has that power and that he's performing those works for people. Especially in an age where medicine—no matter what you think about modern medicine, the medicine in that day was a little more primitive than it is today, and people were eager to be freed from the diseases that ordered their lives, that enslaved them, that oppressed them, and they go to Jesus, right? They come flocking to Jesus because he has what they need. But there's more going on. We see, almost right away, when we see that these people coming with, so it's not everyone, but a subset of the people coming with unclean spirits, and they're the ones who are making this this pronouncement, this proclamation: "You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah." I mean, it's a messianic title. Okay, so we have to kind of grapple with that as well. They're recognizing that Jesus is Israel's king, Israel's true king. And certainly if word about that got around as quickly as word gets around about his healing, there are a lot of people going to have something to say about it, including Herod, who wants himself to be known as the king of the Jews. And he's not going to let that stand. So, and because he's operating on God's timetable and he doesn't want this to be exposed, then the command is issued, and it's issued very sternly here, that they are not to tell anyone about him. They're not to make him known. And what there's more to what's going on there. We say the unclean spirits, right? Because it means that these are non-physical entities. I know we live in a kind of scientific positivist world where the only things that are real are the things that we can see under a microscope or maybe through a telescope, with things we can measure and the rest. But these are spirits. These are non-physical beings, non-physical forces, and they're unclean. And part of what St. Mark wants us to see in this account is that unclean spirits render the people that they oppress, or I don't know, something that they inhabit, perhaps, that they render them unclean. And by rendering them unclean, it means that they are not able to live out their the human vocation that has been entrusted to them. So this is part of the kind of purification process of Israel, is that man is likewise being restored to his proper order, and this is the kind of work that that Jesus has to do in order to accomplish that. But we should set our minds on the fact that Jesus wants here to restore man to his rightful place. And the way that we see that in the pattern of Christ is that we are made to be a royal priesthood. So in the sense that we're made to praise God, we're made to worship him, and then we're made to bring his rule to life in the world. We're to exercise his good and wise stewardship over all creation. But then we see, once we start to get into that space, we realize that there are forces that oppose us. There are forces that oppose God's plan to restore man, to renew his covenant, and then to bring his wise rule to creation, to the entire world. And by creation, of course, I mean you and your body, and then your relationships and the institutions that you're a part of and meant to help build up, and so on and so forth, you know, all the way through to say the less animate aspects of creation. It's not an environmentalist agenda. It's a truly human agenda, because that's our place in the world. And Jesus is, again, accomplishing this. What I find most amazing or impressive about the passage is that perhaps two things. One is that this declaration of Jesus's messiahship comes first from the unclean spirits. So it comes first from, in a sense, the spiritual world. And we're going to see the next little part of the gospel is going to give us Jesus calling the 12, which is his own declaration of the fact that he's the Messiah. It's one of the first declarations or actions of the fact that he's the Messiah. But before that happens, we have this declaration coming from the spiritual world. But what I think is perhaps more significant for us, and certainly on the heart level for us, is that, you know, even as Jesus is becoming known in this manner, because of course he's becoming known as Messiah, people are, say, still coming to him from everywhere in such manner that, you know, if he were to stay in one place, they would crush him, right? People are coming from everywhere. Why? Because they recognize in him the compassion of God on the move, right? So could you imagine, like, think of at least in worldly terms, you know, who the most important person in the world is, and then you know, what it would take to persevere in trying to get an audience with them in order for them to do something for you that you want them to do. Like, you recognize they have the power to do something for you, but even still, do you have the courage of your convictions to keep persevering in the task to meet that person, especially when, you know, all manner of people are around him, and it's not going to be easy even to get to him. Do you bring it to him? And here, yeah, people are coming. They're coming from everywhere because they realize that Jesus is the kind of person who wants to achieve that healing. He wants your healing. He wants to liberate you from the unclean spirits. He wants to help you live into your vocation, your God-given vocation, and so people just come, And then the question is whether or not even we have the courage of our convictions today to bring ourselves whole and entire before Jesus, because we have ready access to him. You know, we have unmediated access to Jesus. Every day we wake up, we have unmediated access to Jesus. We can turn to him in prayer. We have access to him in his own blessed life in the sacraments, right? Are we pushing forward towards Jesus for our own healing and for the strength that we need in order to live the life that he's called us to live? And this is what he wants to effect as the Messiah, his kingship. This is the preeminent sign of his kingship. He is the Messiah, and he is ruling by embodying the compassion of God, liberating and freeing people so that they can live the way that God always intended human beings to live, at the very center and heart of his plan of creation. And so today, with our whole being, what does it mean? What does it mean? It's our whole self, no matter where we are. We bring ourselves to Jesus to make of our entire life and our entire heart an offering to God the Father, and offering God everything we are and everything we have, and receiving from this very altar the life of Jesus himself. We're able to live as God intends us to live, under the kingship, under the rule of Christ Jesus, and working to advance his compassionate rule in the world.